week. So we ended last week's sermon coming just kind of a little bit of a taste, if you will, of what we're going to see over the next 4 weeks. They're still focusing on this theme of outreach and missions and whatnot, much of what you've heard with Rachel's testimony. We are going to be in Mark 4 for the duration of the 4 weeks. But I'm springboarding as well off of Hosea 10:12, really and truly to give us a thought and an idea of where we are today spiritually. So Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." So again, as I've already mentioned, last week we closed our sermon, our three-week little mini-series out of Isaiah 6. We closed it down with this verse, and we made mention of fallow ground. Fallow ground is soil that once produced fruit, once had a crop, it once had a harvest, and yet it's laid desolate for years and years and years. It's been untouched, unbroken up, unturned over, rocks removed and softened, and made ready for the sowers to sow. It's a land, it's an earth that needs to be broken up in order to be of good use. And this is what we find in our generation in a great way today. Again, I mentioned this last week. I think we ought not to be so fooled as to everything that calls itself a Christian today actually is a Christian. This is the deception that we find in our land, a deception that we find in our era, in our generation today. We see that people will say, "Well, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, or we're all going to heaven. Let's just come together and let's celebrate." All the while, their soil has been hardened. The seeds have fallen by the wayside or upon stony ground or upon thorns and sown together there and choking the truth, making Christ, making the gospel of none effect. We need to break up our fallow ground in our world today. We need to sow in tears and reap in joy. And beloved, time is short. The day is at hand. Remember, we spent 3 weeks seeing what the Lord said. The Lord said, you know, who will go for us? Who shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." The days and the times of yesteryear, beloved, they are gone. The generation before us, they lived off the blessings of revivals and evangelism of the generation before them, and they took not the opportunity to sow the seeds that they should have so the next generation could have more blessings, but rather they took what the generation before them came, they did nothing, and therefore we find we live amongst fallow ground today, a ground where our land has become untouched, unmoved, or many times hardened. It's the result of an unwilling generation to get into the depths of the soil of their surrounding. False teaching within so-called churches of the majority today, if you will. Some of the teaching that I hear and some of the things that people bring to me and they say to me, I sit back and to be honest with you, I'm bumfuzzled. I sit back and go, I cannot believe that someone would get up in a public territory and mention something like that. It doesn't even line up with Scripture, much less the Word of God, much less the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very little truth is preached today amongst the majority in our world. But rather, we have a group of people that are encouraging people to remain in the same spiritual state, but try to care for them emotionally and mentally to make them feel better about themselves, beloved. Much of what we hear in popularity today is nothing more than a social gospel. And I say this, if I give a man a warm blanket and I don't give him the gospel, if I give a woman a nice meal and not the path of eternal life, if we give children a toy to play with and he or she never hears the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have failed our generation. We have ushered a society of souls into a devil's hell. We must break up the fallow ground. A soil of society of our own generation must be broken. God didn't call you to the next generation. God didn't put you in the generation of yesteryear. You're alive right here, right now. And therefore, he said, this is your ground. This is your earth. This is the fallow land that we are living in the time of which we are living today. We must break up that ground and plant those seeds, lest our generation fall by the wayside. We cannot coddle our generation. We cannot condone it. We cannot contribute to it. But the ground must be turned over. The ground must surrender. And we must do the work in order for it to do so. Now, beloved, let's say this to you tonight. I want you to understand. Soils are different. Some climates, and I mean spiritually speaking and geographically, are more conducive to the reception of certain seeds, to the reception of the Word of God, okay? Now, I'll give you, for instance, I used this example this morning. The Philippines is a prime example. I went to the Philippines in 2004, and I preached a meeting there. And he drove me all over the Isle of Bohol, and we got to the north side over there. We had traveled 7-8 hours on this road, and we got there unannounced. The guy didn't know we were coming. They stuck me on the back of this bicycle, and I just laughed. I said, "We're not going to go anywhere, guy. Listen, you better find something with a motor." And they had to, and we did. And we showed up to this church, and the guy that I was with, the pastor from that city, Tagalogarian City, and then he said, "Listen, the preacher is here." And he goes, "Okay." And so the pastor of that church that this one had started, he got on his little motorcycle and he carried off through the town for the next hour saying, "The preacher is here." And they packed that place out. And they said, "Preacher, the only rule is this, slowly and clearly. You preach as long as you want to." And then guess what happened? The power went out. Little dude got back on his motorcycle, ran down to the store. He comes back with boxes and handfuls of candles and gave everyone a candle and gave me two. As a matter of fact, my old Schofield Bible has candle wax on the pages that I preached on that night. And we preached until the candles went out. It wouldn't happen here. It wouldn't happen in America. Our church building up in the valley, guys, you guys know, has a history of being very cold, okay, during the wintertime. Very often, many times on Wednesday night, it's 3 to 5 degrees sometime in the dead of winter, and we still come and we go to church, and I'll make a comment, kind of a funny comment, and I have friends that are watching back in the States, pastor friends that are watching back in the States, and they make it very clear they would not do it here. If it's too hot, they're not going to stay in here. If it's too cold, they're not going to come. It better be comfortable for them. And that's the climate that we are in today. It's no different than some plants, my friend. Some plants will germinate and begin to render growth anywhere from 14 to 21 days. Things like okra and lima beans and parsley and carrots. Once you plant them, they automatically begin to grow. But there are certain plants like a water locust. As a matter of fact, in Manchuria, water locusts have been found buried underneath the peat and the dirt with their seeds having a viability period for 400 to 200 years. Now you say, "Preacher, that is not encouraging at all. You're saying that we have fallow ground today," and we do. And that fallow ground needs to be turned over and broken down and rocks removed and made soft for the seed of the Word of God to be planted. But you know what? You may not see it in your lifetime, but the seeds are planted. You may not see it in your lifetime, but they're watered and nurtured, and they'll see it in the next generation. That's the duty of our generation, to do what we're called to do, plant and water, plant and water, plant and water. Break up that ground and get it done so the next generation after us will have something to build upon. So just like those plants, some countries, some counties, some cities, some lands, they're spiritually different. But guys, listen, just because something is dormant doesn't mean it's dead. Dormant does not equal death. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. It's where we're going to be again, like I said, over the next 4 weeks. And I think I do have it up on the screen, but Mark in chapter 4, and see where we go up there. We see in verse 3 to begin with, in verse 3, the Bible says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." The reason I threw verse 3 in there is because the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear this is an important parable. As a matter of fact, this is the key to understanding all the parables. But he makes this clear. He says, "Hearken, behold." He goes, "I want you to listen and I want you to see." And down in verse 13, when he gives these descriptions, he said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? How then shall ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, so endure for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown amongst thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it," speaking of the word, "becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Beloved, there are four soils that are mentioned in this parable. And the Lord reveals to us what these soils are, as well as the seed. The soils are the souls of men, women, and children. The seed is the Word of God. And the first soil that we see, the only one that we'll be covering tonight, is the soil of the wayside hearers. In Mark in chapter 4 and verse 4, when he had given the original parable, we'd read tonight the description that he gave his disciples. And he says, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some," speaking of the seed, "fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." And I want you to notice that any time there is wayside sowings of the gospel, there are going to be fowls involved. Fowls in the scriptures have always been related to or types of devils or Satan himself. When Jesus Christ gives the details and description of this parable in verse 15, as we just read, he says, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown," that's the seed he mentioned, "but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." He sows it, boom, and Satan comes and snatches it away. These poor souls would have heard the gospel, would have received the gospel, would have been gloriously and gladly born again of the blood of Christ. And yet, just upon the sowing, Satan sends orders out to his demons, and they come in this vision of fowls, and they devour the word from them. You say, what kind of fowls are these? What kind of birds are these? That's irrelevant. They're probably crows, but it's irrelevant, or raven. We see that type, if you will, with Noah's Ark. But Satan sends certain things, as Jesus Christ depicts them as the birds of the air, the fowls of the ground. But Satan will send things into your life. He'll send things into the wayside hearer's life that when that seed is sown, something comes in and gobbles it up and takes it away, lest they be born again. And they come in forms of distractions at times. Distractions. You know, one of the reasons why I have up on here in the pre-service video, there's that woman there with her finger on her mouth like this. It's just, "Please silence your phone." I prefer it being turned off, but I got sense enough to know that many of you use your phone for your Bible, and I don't have a problem with that. But do you know why? Do you know how many years, nearly 30 years now being in the ministry, do you know how many times I have sat there and have preached my guts out, sweat, and I mean begging and pleading for souls to be saved and born again, and have watched people break in the pew and watch their heart be ripped apart and watch tears go, and you can see they are on the verge of committing themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden there comes a phone call somewhere in the room. Distraction. You say, "Oh, preacher, that doesn't happen." Really? Let me ask you, what comes into your mind when you go down and you try to pray all the time? Have you always had 100% undistracted prayers? Well, if that be the case, you're a holy saint sitting in heaven today. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the devil sends distractions into our life. They come into our ways. They come to deter us and detract us from what God wants for us. For the lost soul, the Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. Yet we know that thousands upon millions will perish, because he said you must be born again. The only way they can be born again is to receive the word of God, which is the seed that he's speaking of here. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they're not going to hear it if we don't take it to them. They're not going to receive it if the ground's not broken up, that fallow ground is not turned over. And they're not going to receive it if the devil gets to it first. Distractions. Another thing that Satan will send forth to take that seed away from that soil is difficulties. Struggles. Now, we all have them, I know. But difficulties come into someone's life, and it deters them from receiving that precious word. Sometimes it is as simple as dilemmas. I can't tell you how many times that I have been there, sat across a desk, sat in the counseling room, been on the street, wherever it may be, witness the gospel to someone, give it to them, see that they want it, see that they need it, and then what they do, they're standing at the crossroads of eternity, and they got to make a decision. to receive Jesus Christ and inherit eternal life, to be sealed under the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of promise, or give up what they've been doing and what they've been living. I've honestly sat there and listened to people and heard them say to me very clearly, I like my life. I've sat there and I've listened to them say that they enjoy their life. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in eternal life. They don't believe in this. They want to go to the bars. They want to go to the clubs. They want to carouse around. They want to give themselves away. They want to lose every bit of purity of their heart, mind, and body. This is what they want. But they know they need the seed that is being offered to them, and they're standing in a dilemma. Speaking to a guy one time, been working with him for nearly a decade now, trying to witness to him, share the gospel with him. I finally told him one time, I said, I'm going to pray for you every day until you break. I'm going to pray for you every day. And I said, I told him this. I said, here's the deal. Here's what I want you to think about. I said, let's put everything that we've discussed over the last decade, let's put it to the side. I said, what if you're wrong? What if what you believe, that you came from nothing, you die and you go to nothing, what if you're wrong? And he says, what if you're wrong? I said, I'm glad you asked. Because if I'm wrong, I haven't lost anything. Lights go out, I won't even know it. If I'm wrong about what I believe here, that I have put my life in the middle of, that this governs my life, if I'm wrong and I live to be however old and the lights go out, my friend, the lights go out. I've lost absolutely nothing. They said, but what about a fun life? Son, I'm living the time of my life. Are you kidding me? I'm having a blast in my life. I got an awesome family. I got awesome friends. I have a field day in the gym and in the community. Are you kidding me? I love life and every drop of it. I've lost nothing. By the way, I like waking up in the morning and know what I did last night. Amen. And my back may hurt and all this. My head ain't hurting. Amen. I like waking up in the morning not in jail. That's always a good thing. Amen. So I've lost nothing. I said, but if I'm right and you're wrong, you've lost everything and it's too late. Dilemmas. You're going to come across people that are going to have dilemmas. See, Satan's work in our world today, Satan's work among the fallow ground is evident. Matter of fact, his methods are very clear. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 11, he tells us, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles comes from the Greek word methodia, which is the same word we get methods. We're not ignorant to his methods. We know how he works. We've seen it. He hasn't changed anything. Nothing has changed at all. But my friend, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to go out into this world that's filled with fallow ground and you're going to sow this seed amongst these four soils, if you're going to do that today, you can't be going out there buck naked with just the helmet of salvation on. If you want to try to withstand the wiles of that wicked creature, that devil, you're going to have the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. You're going to have your loins girt about with truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And most of all, you better have that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'll give you another illustration, Matthew chapter 22. Watch this. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth the other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, coming to the marriage. But they made light of it, went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. We have a multitude of men, women, and children today making light of the things that are going to come. They're making light of death in our world today. They're making light of deliverance. And they're making light of the decision that must be made. They'll stand today in our world with the scoffers that Peter spoke of saying this, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Beloved, this is what happens when Satan devours the seed of the Word of God as people begin to scoff the Word of God. They begin to ignore death. You know, one out of one people die. That's the statistics today. Isn't that something? Do you know 155,000 plus people die every day? 1.8 per second. Do the math of how many people is going to die by the time we finish fellowship tonight in the world. Every one of them are one of the four soils plus an entire group of majority that we'll speak about later on. Satan devours the seed of the Word of God. Matthew 24, I understand doctrinally Matthew 24 is tribulational, but the Bible says, but because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. One of the earmarks of the tribulation period is lasciviousness, or leading up to the tribulation period is lasciviousness, which simply means utter lawlessness. Now, beloved, here's the deal. People don't want to hear about what kind of type of world we live in today. We want to crawl behind our white picket fence and think everything's okay and this and that. The bottom line is this: 1.8 people are dying every day, and they're dying and going to hell if they're not hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess whose responsibility it is? It's ours. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the missionary. It's not just the evangelist. It's everybody who knows Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior is our responsibility. I have three quick points tonight, and we'll be finished, and we'll go and have our fellowship, but I hope and pray that what I'm getting ready to say does not soon leave you. The fact of the matter is that wayside hearers are simply under the control, or have become prey, I should say, to Satan and the workings that he has in this world. Friend, Satan seeks to reproduce liars. That's what he wants to do. Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He's a liar. You know, you can't play around with the devil. I love it over there when God is talking to Job 42, believe it may be, or 41, and he's talking about Leviathan. Leviathan is Satan, and if you look in who, it's not a hippopotamus, whatever the Bible critics like to call that. It's not an alligator. He's literally talking about Satan himself. Common sense tells you that when you look at the context of the scripture. But then again, Bible critics aren't too common. Their sense isn't too common now, is it? But he asks Job, he says, can thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? In other words, can you control what he does? God says, I can, but you can't. He said, what are you going to do? You going to play with him like a bird? No. We're no match for him. He is a liar and the father of it. And the lies that this world believes today, the lies concerning Jesus Christ, the scripture, the lies that he seeks to reproduce that of his own. He looks to reproduce liars. And the only answer to that, it's the seed of the Word of God. Satan seeks for people to remain lost. 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, my prayer, my hope is that everybody in this room is gloriously saved and born again. I hope and pray that be the answer. But I will tell you this of an absolute fact here tonight, that there are people, Satan, listen, you know what? He wants to bring everything in your life so that you don't come into the house of God. He wants to bring distractions into your life, difficulties, delays. He wants to do that because he wants the people of God to not be in the house of God. He wants you to make decisions and prioritize something else over here. That's what Satan wants. But when it comes to the lost, he don't care if you're in church 24/7, as long as you remain lost. He don't care what you're wearing. He doesn't care what you do. He's just as happy as long. Satan wants the world to remain lost. He's not interested in them. That's why he sends the fouls. That's why he sends the difficulty. That's why he sends the dilemmas. That's why he brings the distractions into people's life, so that they will remain lost. I'll tell you, ultimately today, Satan desires to remove life. Luke 9:42 says, "And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him." Watch this. "And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." And I'll give you the picture of that. Satan hates life. Why do you think Satan hates life? Why do you think he despises you? He doesn't like you. He doesn't like Satanists. You know what? The person over here that remains lost, living in darkness, but they're the sweetest, kindest person in the world. And the person over here who is bowing the knee and bending over and worshiping Satan, hook, line, and sinker, and doing all of his deeds, he loves them equally, meaning he hates them all equally. He doesn't like them. He doesn't care about them. He hates them because they are a representation of the creator of all life. Our body is a triune body, body, soul, and spirit. Our God is a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so every time Satan sees the embodiment of who created him, God said this in Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed thee," pay attention, "before I formed thee in the belly, in the womb, I knew thee." He is the life giver. And Satan seeks to snuff the life out of human beings. These are, and this is just three among other things, the workings of Satan, seeking to people to be lost, seeking for them as he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He does this by devouring the word of God from the hearts and minds of those who would receive it, that even fall by the wayside. Fact of the matter is, guys, is we must understand. Here's what we have to understand. Again, we're going to spend 4 weeks on these soils. And you may be sitting here tonight and you're saying, "Well, preacher, what's the end of the wayside here? They die and they go to hell." And the reality is we need to understand that there are going to be wayside hearers in the world. There are going to be wayside hearers in our communities, in our villages, our towns, our city, our country, and throughout the entire globe. There's going to be wayside hearers. Nevertheless, the seed must be sown in spite of the wayside hearers. Why? Because what did Paul say? To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Yes, there's going to be wayside hearers. Yes, there's going to be stony ground hearers. Yes, there's going to be sown amongst the thorns. But yes, there's going to be good ground. Those wayside hearers, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. We live in a world of fallow ground that must be turned over, but I'm here to tell you again tonight and for the next 3 weeks afterwards, dormant does not equal death. And you may be sitting here this evening and wondering, well, why on earth, if only 25% of those soils are going to receive the word of God and be saved and gloriously born again, why can't we just go to the good ground? I'd love you to tell me which one's the good ground. We don't know. I don't know who's a stony ground here. I don't know who's amongst the thorns. I don't know who the wayside. What I do know, that if we don't sow the seed of the word of God, there's a 100% chance that they all go into hell. Now, guys, the parable of the sower only depicts those the seed was sown amongst. 67% of the world's population, over 8 billion souls, have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how in the world is that so? That's got to be in the depths of the lost tribes down in Africa somewhere, or Papua New Guinea, or this and that. I'll tell you what, I'll give a testimony of a dear friend of mine when his grandfather died. Him and his brother were sat there talking to the vicar. I hate that word. The word vicar comes from the Latin word replacement, and there is no replacement or substitute for Jesus Christ. Any man that calls himself a vicar is a liar. Amen? My friend made this statement. Well, at least we know he's in a better place. We know he's in heaven now. You know what that clown said? Well, we don't really know. I mean, how can any of us really know? I can feel my blood pressure right now going through the roof. How can you call yourself a man of God and make some lying statement like that? because they don't believe the Bible. You can know that you may know you have the word, that you may know you have eternal life, John said. That you may know, you either know or you don't know tonight. There's no question. But here's a fact of the matter that I do. I know I'm saved. Amen. I know I'm born again of the blood of Christ, and I know if I drop dead right now, the next time I open my eyes, I'm going to see my Savior. Amen. I know this, that if I'm not steadfast in witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ and sowing seeds in my community, I know they're not going to get a chance to hear the word of God. I know that if we don't do our job for our generation, no one else is going to do that job, and we have a responsibility. So here's my challenge for each and every one of you this week. And I'm done, and we'll go eat. With our leaflets, is it an invite to church? Sure is. But we don't do any leaflet that doesn't have the plan of salvation on the back. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You don't have to have a Bible right there and somebody sent you. Got the Bible verses right there. Five steps to heaven, very clear according to the word of God. So my challenge to each and every one of us in here tonight, and you do the math of how it would work out. I want you to take three. You can take as many as you want, but I'm just challenging you to take three. For the next 7 days, I want you to pass three of these leaflets out to people in your community. People that you come into contact, oh, preacher, I couldn't do that. Why not? Yeah, you can do it. It is simple as, you know, you pay for something at the store. Hey, I'd like to give you this, please. Here, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Well, they may say no. Well, they may say yes or may say nothing either, right? It's not, let them say no. It ain't going to be the last time or nor the first time that you've been told no, and I'd rather be told no for this than something else, amen? Our job is to plant. Our job is to water. The generation is our responsibility. So, beloved, let's break up the fallow ground. Let's start sowing the seeds that God may bring the increase. Three tracks. I asked you to take three of the green, these right here, tonight, and over the next 7 days, pass them out. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who and what you are, for all you've done and all that you've given us. I thank you for your precious and inerrant word of God, and ask of you this evening that if you will, Lord, take this word, lay it upon our heart, help us accept the challenge, help us accept the burden, dear Lord, help us accept the responsibility that you have given us, that we may be a light in a darkened world, that we may sow the seeds, no matter whatever the ground may be, Father. It's not ours to choose. It's not ours to determine what ground it is. But let us sow the seed of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, so that soul tonight who is furthest from you may be wonderfully saved, born again of the blood of Christ, sealed into the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen.